It sounds like dawn. Good evening. This is the Wednesday evening question and answer call. I welcome all those people that are participating with this call through BBS. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. And this is a simulcast with a conference call, so we have a bunch of people here currently on the phone line. It is 5:58, still 2 minutes till the hour. I believe that Wynn has arrived. Am I correct?
Hello, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Am I loud and clear? Is my voice okay?
Yes, it sounds good. Yes. I mean, very clear. It sounds good. I don't know how loud you are yet.
could be louder.
Could be louder, yes.
Testing one. Wait a second. Where am I? Testing.
Sedona.
Testing. Oh, I know I'm at Sedona. I'm looking for my... Wait, is that me? Testing 1, 2, 3. Wait a second.
It remains the same. You're very clear and no problem, except you're not so loud.
I see.
You know, once the lines are muted, it's probably doable.
Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. That's not better, is it?
It remains the same.
Yeah, okay. I'm not on my normal headset.
Okay. Let's just give it a chance, Wynn, I would say.
Is Terry here?
I just saw Terry arrive together with you, I believe. Hello, Terry Brown.
Hi.
How are you doing, Sister
Hi.
Terry?
Good, thank you.
All right, thank you so much for being here again and doing this awesome work for, you know, for the entire world. It's only a small group of people involved with this, but, you know, you're doing this for the entire world.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry and Wynn.
Hey,
Don.
Hi, Don. It's not numbers. It's quality.
There you go.
Quality, not
quantity.
Hey,
Wynn, I still don't get your email every day.
Now, who is that?
Wanda.
Who?
Wanda in Canada.
Wanda. You sent me an email about it, right?
Yep.
I'm going through this one by one. You didn't get an email today. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going through it and trying to figure out what the problem is. So
every day it might change.
Every day it might change. Well, you know, it's more complicated. Sometimes are you subscribed to? Okay, I'm going to say this for everybody so they know. Okay, we have all of these different things to subscribe to.
Yeah.
And some of them might work and some of them may not. Like there's messageaday.net. That's one of the things. Then there's the Spirit Channel where you get things from the conference calls. You know what? I should send it. If I send an email out, you won't get it. I should send an email to everybody on the list. And then see if you get it, okay? Because when we send an email out, we send it only to people. Did you used to get conference call notifications?
No.
You never did, right?
No.
Yes, I used to.
You're not on that list then.
I tried to get onto the list, but I didn't succeed, I guess.
Okay, write this down. Okay, if you're not getting conference call notifications, you should be on the list that goes spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity. And that will take you up to a sign-up form where you can sign up and you'll get notices for conference calls.
Damn it. Say that again, Spirit?
Spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's Message a Day, messageaday.net, which is a series of 150 messages that from different excerpts of channelings. It's been very popular, okay? Then there's, the Wynn Channel. How many of you know what the Wynn Channel is?
Yeah.
You know, the Wind Channel is a whole series of things I put together of anything I wanted. Okay? Now, let me see. I don't even know if I put up a special. I should have it. Windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. Did I say .net before? Windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. And that will take you to another sign-up form. And that has things, mailings that are not directly related to the Elohim. It has music, it has poems, it has alternative news, okay? And see if those trigger anything. MessageAday.net. MessageAday.net is 150 messages directly related to our channeling. And, you know, the theory behind this was to create an ongoing email support system of different things. Some people like to get emails, and some people say, there's one spamming us. So let's put it on a selective thing. And I will tell you, messageaday.net, if you haven't gotten on that, has really been valuable for many people. Because every day you get an excerpt from our channelings with a little comment. And, you know, it was in, 2008. And I was pounding my head against the wall. And I said, how do I get this out there? I think I should be recording this. This is a good story.
Okay. Let's first hold on 1 second. Vin, I want to make sure.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So, Teddy, you say something first, and I want to compare.
Terry said something?
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Okay, good. You're good right now. Wynn, say something.
Say something. This is Wynn.
Okay. I think you're okay, yes.
I'm a little bit tinny, right?
Yes.
But legible?
Yes.
Okay.
With the budget we have, it's great.
Okay. So, hang on a second. Hang on. I'm trying to remember where the...
Here, I got it. Want me to start it?
Yeah. Start the recording, because I wanted to put this on
this conference is being recorded.
This is July 30th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Highs in Magalia. All of you everywhere. We have Marilyn Kowalski. We have Marilyn Halsman in Pennsylvania. It's amazing. We can actually see all the people that are on. Donald Herman, Susan Rush. Hi, Susan. Chris Blair. You know what people love? Don Herman. Willis. Who is Willis? Hi, do you know Willis?
No, I don't.
Willis, do you realize somebody is using somebody else's phone?
You know, not all people announce themselves, so there are people who rather stay in the background.
Right, that's okay. Don't be embarrassed, Willis. I'm just saying hello. We saw you come up on our console. They're so sophisticated. It's really amazing. Dave Fitzsimmons in Atlantic City, and I don't want to have you say it. Susan Rush in Delaware, and Suzanne Reed. Where is Suzanne Reed? I know Suzanne Reed. Okay. I hope I didn't embarrass you by saying your name. It's just that we get the conference call is so sophisticated that we get a master console and we see everyone's name that's on here. We can even tell who's calling. And it's really amazing. So I was starting to say that we have all these different email things that you can subscribe to. And I haven't talked about that for a while, but it's actually worked for many people. at some point, we're going to put it on a thing where you get it for like a month, and then we ask you for a small donation, because to pay for all the internet overhead and everything else supports our work. But the most popular of all these things is called Message a Day. And you can go to messageaday.net. And I put Message a Day together, I think, sometime around 2007, 2008, because I was hitting my head against the wall of how to put this out into the world. Understand, put yourself in my position. Here I had this book. The book was quite easy to talk about, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But it was very difficult to talk about the book and the fact that I had the people in my life channeling a voice that said they created the universe. That qualified me as a number one wacko, okay? because how could a guy write this book and then have that experience? So I was kind of stuck, didn't know how to do it. I felt it was really important to do it. I knew it was important, but I didn't have a clue. And it seemed so overwhelming. It was like, what do? Stand on the corner and say, repent, sinners, God's coming? You know, I didn't know what to do. And then I had an idea. And it was one of the better ideas I've come up with. Since it was easy to get attention to the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, that was easy. I learned how to use an autoresponder. So people could go to that website, and there'd be a little sign-up form. Put your name here and your email here, and sign up for excerpts from the book and other relevant information. And that began a string automatically triggered of 150 emails. And the first 2 weeks would be excerpts from the book. And then after 2 weeks, I started an email that said, let me tell you what happened to me while I was writing the book. And I kind of started to sneak in my own story and the Elohim channeling. And then after about 2 months, people started emailing me and saying, thank God somebody's explaining all this to us. And I didn't know it would work. And it really did work. It really worked. And, you know, I wasn't talking about this publicly, but people will get a series of 150 emails, one every day. And every day they get another piece of the story. They get another channeling from the Elohim. And it was really helping to keep people energetically open and connected. And then we started inviting those people to our conference calls. And that's how this evolved. This has been no piece of cake, easy thing to put out into the world. A lot of people don't realize it because they come to a call and it seems so self-evident. We seem relaxed. But how do people find out about this? It's not easy. For example, think of yourself, those of you that have come to know that this is legitimate, have come to know it's been very supportive of you in your life. It's given you the opportunity to do certain wonderful changes in your life. And yet, how many of you have been able to talk about it to someone else and say, hey, guys, you got to check this out. It's very hard to talk about. People don't want to talk about it because their friends will think they're nuts. They joined a cult. They're off the deep end. So Message a Day was really a great stroke of luck or attempt to do something that was different. Because people would then, you know, it was easy to get attention for the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But that was not my main focus anymore. So it became a tool sell books, and it is a very relevant book if you haven't read it. But it became a tool to introduce people to the Elohim and the rest of the work. And it was like a drip, 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 drip approach. And some of you right now came in from that. We probably had initially, you know, we did Google AdWords, and we said, is Edgar Cayce back? And then people would come onto the Edgar Cayce site, and then the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce site, and then they would sign up for Message a Day. And then they'd get the information about the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, but they get the information about my personal experience and the Elohim. So if you haven't signed up for that, you know, right now I cooled off. I haven't been promoting that. Although sometimes people, you know, heard us on George Norrie, and they end up finding that or getting an invitation. But if you haven't been invited and you want to check it out, many people have found that to be a great support to get an email every day with a little piece of puzzle from the Elohim and Ra groups. And you can go to messageaday.net and sign up for it, okay? And if you're not getting email notices, see, this is really complex. You know, we have thousands of people on our list. And part of the art of emailing is figuring out how to address your group, the group on your list, and know who's really interested, distinguish who's really interested from who is a looky-loo that's not so interested, or maybe could be interested, but they have to get the right introduction. So my email list is segmented into different subgroups, and one of them is the one that I usually do now as a first introduction. Like if I'm talking about my work, I send people to intelligent-infinity.com and they download our book, the Creator God book. And, you know, we can go through that directly. We don't have to go through the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce because I'm talking directly about my work. And at that time, I wasn't. I didn't know how to. I didn't know where to. I sounded too crazy. So messageaday.net is a really great uplifting thing. And it needs to be re-edited. I've hesitated talking about it because I haven't taken the time to go re-edit it. But it's like 93% okay. You know, there's some bad links, some old links, but in general, the essence of it is good. And you might sign up. You can always unsign up from that, and you can sign up for something else and still keep your subscriptions to our other email campaigns. Then the other campaign is Wind Channel. Windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com, I believe. And that's a series of emails that don't talk about the Elohim, don't talk about the book, talk about other things. They talk about nutrition, they talk about alternative news, and that's been very popular, and you'll get a message every day that I put together. They're all preloaded. Wind Channel, let me just see here. I forget. I think it's windchannel.net. Is that right? No, I don't think there's any such thing. Okay, Wind Channel. I'm just checking this out so I give you the right URL.
When you said earlier it is windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's it. windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. And you'll get a lot of interesting emails if you sign up for that. So we have the spiritchannel.net. No, the spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. Spiritchannel.net is a web page where you get the archives to all of our calls. We have about 1,000 calls up there, and they're pretty interesting. They're all different. And also, you can, it's interesting to start out, I think it starts out in 2009, and it's interesting to note the progression of how the calls have changed, how the energy has gotten more relaxed, how Terry and I have gotten better at doing this, and particularly Terry. I'm still working on it. But there are some historic calls there. Some of you know this, and some of you know, because when something is this accessible, and we're accessible, here we are, we check on, doesn't cost any money, and we all sound human, we don't sound holier than now, and sometimes you can take for granted how amazing it is what we're doing. In other words, having a public call with a source that said it created the universe, the Elohim, the name for God in the Old Testament, the name for God in the Mormons, and they come on our calls all the time with the most spectacular information, and then there's an energy that people can feel on the call. Many people, maybe you don't, but if you hang around long enough, you might get it. And then people start having this expanded experience, and they start having synchronicities, and sometimes they have healings. And I don't like to talk about those things too much, because sometimes it gets people's expectations up too high, and they need to go through certain experiences before they can have a healing. Because ultimately, this may sound, not make sense, but you heal yourself. The whole universe is one energy. The Elohim is part of you. You're part of them. They're a higher aspect of you. You're a lower aspect of them. When the two aspects connect, that's when healings can occur easily. Okay? And one of the ways to get them to connect is by coming into these calls. Because their frequency, this is my take on this, their frequency is on the call. They're paying attention to the people on the call. So if you're coming to the call, and my theory is that you stand much more chance of making a connection. And some people think it's something to believe in. It's not something to believe in. It's something to experience. When you get it, you get it. I'm not a believer. I kept doing this, and I said, this can't be real. I had to prove it to myself. And there was so many things that proved it. It was just mind-boggling. Some of you are proving it to yourself. This whole thing of St. Catherine and this spinning image of Terry, the David Wilcock-Edgar Cayce connection. And then there's more connections like that that I don't talk about, because it just gets too controversial. But nonetheless, it's kind of mind-blowing as you unfold these things to yourself. And, you know, we take it for granted because, you know, it's here. I'm doing it 3 times a week. And then, and I'm only doing this because so many of you have emailed me about your phenomenal experiences. And I also know there's people that are coming into the call and they're saying, when am I going to get mine? When am I going to get mine? Well, I can't tell you. You know what? It's your own high self, your own being that makes the decision to open up the energies. It doesn't happen at your conscious level. And so I can just say, If you think we're real, keep coming up. And you're always welcome to come to the conclusion that we're full of it and you don't want to be here, okay? I mean, it's okay. And I don't think we're full of it. I mean, believe me, I'm my own worst skeptic, and there's so many things that have happened to both Terry and myself that have validated that what we're doing is real. So the Wind Channel, the windchannel.intelligentfashionaffinity.com, spiritchannel.intelligentfashionaffinity.com, and messageaday.net. Those are the three emails you can get an ongoing support system, maybe at least two emails a day, every day, one email with little messages from our sources. Just and many people have said it keeps them tuned up, tuned in, okay? It keeps the energy going. So keep that in mind. And on that note, I'm sure Terry's not, you're not ready, are you, Terry?
Well, Terry gets unmuted, Quinn.
I unmuted myself. I'm unmuted now.
Okay, what did you say?
Quinn, I want to make sure that you receive the question that I asked for Julia I submitted this morning.
I did.
Thank you.
Got it. It's on my list. Okay?
Awesome.
Okay, now let me see here. Okay, I'm just looking at new messages, okay? Let me just see it. Okay, Suzanne Reed, I'm adding your question. That's a good question. We could spend the whole day on that question, okay? Hang on, let me just get it in here in the queue. Terry, does Jim know not to bother you? Oh, Jim is on the line. He probably knows, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get started here. Sometimes I think a question is not something I want to ask. But sometimes I'll address the question and I'll answer it, at least in my way, rather than taking it to our sources. And one of the reasons for that, and this is not obvious to many of you, but it's a rather important consideration. When you hear Terry answering a question, it all looks like it's very localized and just like a normal conversation, somebody talking. But it's not. Terry goes into the matrix of the question, and she can go into different sections of the Elohim. She can go into different sections of the Ra group. She can go in, we've seen her do this, she seems to be able to go into discarnate beings and people that have died. And it's not always good to go in for her to go into lower levels. There's a certain risk, I feel there's a certain risk factor if we do that. And I might answer that question for my own conscious self, but I don't want to ask it to Terry. I don't even know if I should answer it for my conscious self when we have an expanded consciousness on the line. Terry, do you want to comment about that? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, for instance, today I've been very, very tired. My electrical potential is down, And I was asking myself, well, what have I been doing that created that? And I think it was yesterday somebody asked the question about the, was there a curse in the area of Sedona? And I went in to look at the curse, and then I looked into who was doing the curse, and then I looked into who was behind what, who was doing the curse, and I looked at the curse. It took a lot of energy, and I was all over Sedona looking at vortexes and looking at different buildings and just gauging the effect of the curse on any of the buildings and why there was a curse, which incidentally was that the Indians that were here before had a sacred space, and they did not believe individuals should live here, and that if someone came, it would be bringing their teepee and then moving on, but protecting this very sacred space. And so it took an awful lot of energy to view everything and to talk to those people involved. And the one, I mean, it was a wonderful result. But then I'm processing an awful lot of energy.
Right.
So I go there.
And to make it simple, you know, there I was with Terry after this thing, and I'm talking to some Indian chief that lived here years ago, and really a bunch of Native Americans that really resented the way the white man came into Sedona and built here, okay? And when they left the realm, they apparently have been hanging around Sedona and impacting some things negatively, which would be a curse. They're probably listening. See, when we do this, we're talking about this. They're probably, I just bring them in because I'm talking about it. I mean, are they paying attention to us, Terry?
They're very respectful. They're very
respectful.
I've almost developed a companionship with them now.
So they're very respectful. These are Native Americans. Negative. I'm sorry, guys. These are Native Americans.
Native.
We're probably the Native Americans. Okay.
Right. These are Native
Americans, and of course, we have done terrible things to Native Americans, and they tend to have a fairly high respect for nature and life in some ways. But the point is, when we talk about something, because we're dealing in this universe matrix, and because we have an expanded matrix on the call, when we talk about something, we bring it in. So when somebody wants to know about something of the negative, there's too much chance that we'll start talking about it, and then suddenly it will appear in the energy field. And that's happened. That's happened one time in a rather spectacular way, but it was not positive. I don't think it was positive. And then the other, you know, I'm always worried that if something appears and we bring it in, what if it gets stuck on Terry? What if we can't get rid of it? Now, I don't think that's highly likely, because her intention is so high and our connection with the higher sources are so high and good. But nonetheless, I don't really want to take chances. And, you know, somebody could ask a question, and suddenly we got, I don't even want to say the name, you know, some demonic force on the line. And we've had that. I mean, Terry is pretty amazing. Years ago, we were living in Pasadena, and I remember I was in the bathroom and sitting, pardon me for being so graphic. Okay, I was reading a Seth book, and I came out of the bathroom talking about the Seth book. Terry looks at me, and she says, "He's here now. Do you want to talk to him?" And so I get it. When I was reading that book, I was invoking Seth, and she got him, okay? And suddenly he was in the room, and I had a conversation. Well, let's just say I had a conversation with a voice that said it was Seth, you know.
That was amazing.
Yeah, through DK, we had a conversation with Ramtha, quite a few. It sounded like Ramtha, if you know who Ramtha is. And then another time, sometime I'll do a call on this. I never wanted to talk about it, but now I can talk about anything. We had, when Michael Jackson died, Michael Jackson suddenly was coming through Terry. And we had a series of conversations with Michael Jackson. And then I told DK that Michael Jackson was coming through. And suddenly the next day she said, "Oh, he's coming through me now." And there's an amazing story there. So, you know, this is not like we're sitting here omniscient and Elohim is locked in place and they're going to give us the answers. It's like we're always changing our matrix by the questions we ask. And I started to get the idea how that works, that we're all always changing our matrix. Every time we go somewhere, every time we talk to somebody, every time we watch TV, our matrix is shifting. We're shifting in the universe. And we think it's static, but it is not static. That's why you have to be really careful about the things you involve yourself in and the people you let into your life. Watching television, what city you're in, all those things. Okay, now we got to start. I'm talking way too long here, but you know what? I'm going to get this one question here. Hi, Dan. You know what? This is from Dan Chung. He just sent it in. Newark, Delaware, and I'm going to put you in. He says it's the first time he's ever asked a question, and it's a really good question, and I'm getting your question in, Dan. Thank you for asking it. Oh, well, I should also say, if you're not getting conference calls, notifications, we have spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. .net. And if you go to that, spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.net, there's a little form you can fill out, and you will get notifications before the conference calls, and you'll also get the audio of the call after it's done, and transcripts when we have them, okay? And these are all tools to keep a positive input flowing in your direction. As some of you may have noticed, our room can be pretty difficult. There's a lot of negativity in here. And if you want to stay above the negativity, you've got to have positive input. And our emails have helped many people with that. We've gotten loads and loads of testimonials or emails from people who said they got the right email at the right time, that it was, you know, there was a synchronicity involved. So get on our email list, one of those lists that are intriguing, and we're going to go into the evening's questions. Now that I've talked so much, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. Okay. And I have something here from Edna. And then I have my own question. This is last week, or last 2 weeks, she asked about her friend.
Do we have our sources present?
Oh, do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ron. And we are present with each and every one of you. And we are here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, guys. Okay. So Edna asks about her friend Gerhard who passed. And the sources commented that I was helping Gerhard to be strong on the other side. My question is this. Do I go to the other side? I was with the impression that only the person that dies may cross over there. I know for a long time that I help people pass over to the other side, but I was not aware that I am working on the other side. I would love to understand, to know much more about the work that I do on the other side, if this is correct to what I understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Gerhard has not fully crossed over to the other side. Once he fully crosses over to the other side, then it will be harder to contact him, to reach him, as to move into that space requires the bringing in of much light into your matrix. However, as he is wavering back and forth and contacting you and relying upon you, there is a wavering where he moves close and then farther. So you are helping him in his transition. We hope that sheds some light on it.
Thank you. And then we have here Fred Brooks, who lives in Alaska, Eagle River, and he asks, is the use of force considered proper to save a life, one's own life or the life of another? Thank you.
It is a complex issue, and it depends upon the factors involved. It is acceptable when someone's life is threatened to use power and force to protect your own life and your own family. There, we hesitate to bring levity in here, but there is a joke that one has used in the past, that one has to be careful that they do not incur a whole lot of paperwork and trouble. One must consider all factors. If someone uses power to protect themselves, and the individual whom the power is used against has any ethics, it can bring that person around, and they will feel that they have been punished or stopped justly. So there is the matter of bringing justice into the situation, which even the person who is being unjust can come to recognize as something that was deserved and warranted and even learn a lesson by it.
Thank you. Fred asks, I'm not asking all his questions. I'll ask the one that I think is most relevant here. He says, is karma accumulated in the situation? My comment, it seems to me, if you feel guilty, then there's karma. But if you feel righteous in your action, in other words, you are protecting someone else's life, protecting your own life, then I don't think there was karma collected. But let's ask our sources.
Yes. If it is something that is just and you know that, you do not invoke karma. You might even invoke some good response.
In a situation like that, God, I forget my question. Hang on. God, I had a really good question, and it just slipped, so that's okay. It's my question. Let me go on to the next question here of someone else. Hang on. And this is from... Suzanne, I think, in Columbus, Ohio, and she said, when Terry Friedman said on Monday was so simple, but so hard for some of us to live by, we are here to love each other as we love ourselves. But for many of us, loving ourselves is a lifelong struggle. Is it possible to love and treat others in kindness when we can't do it to ourselves? Is there any suggestions that the Elohim have for those who continue to struggle with self-love? Thank you. Very
thank
good
you
question.
When one looks at another, pardon?
That's it. That's from Suzanne in Columbus, Ohio. Very good question.
Yes. When? Give us a moment. We went out of channeling mode. Could you repeat the question? We're sorry.
Terry Friedman said, we're here to love each other as we love ourselves. But for many of us, loving ourselves is a lifelong struggle. Is it possible to love and treat others with kindness when we can't do it to ourselves? Is there any suggestion the Elohim has for those of us who continue to struggle with self-love? Thank you. That's Suzanne in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, we have a couple of suggestions. One is to notice the things that you admire about others, the things that you respect, the things that you get a joy out of, the things that people do. And just notice yourself loving that situation or caring about somebody. To do it to another, then that will be helpful for you to do it to yourself. And then again, to look at yourself and see what there is about yourself that you really like. You tend to focus on things that you would like to change, but there's many, many things about yourself that you do like, and to focus on those. Also, another thing is to realize that you are a spark of God, and you are worthy. You are part of the being of God, and so you deserve a lot of love and a lot of respect and a lot of sacred feelings. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to add that self-love sometimes can mean, now this is going to be controversial, okay, I'll probably get emails about this, but I'll say it because those are going to help some people. Yogi Bhajan, I remember hearing him talk years ago in L.A., and he was talking about sex and how sex brought a connection between the third chakra and the fifth chakra and brought the heart chakra into a flow. Now, I don't know if this is true for everybody, but he talked about it like it was true for a lot of people, and that sometimes an orgasm can help release your energy so you can love yourself. And it's like there are so many spiritual warnings about sex or all this stuff that it's controversial. So I'll put it out there, and some of you can think about it. Some of you may, might be important too. I remember when I was younger, and I was really romantic, and I didn't want to do that. And I asked a guy who I would have considered my spiritual teacher at the time. I learned so much from this guy. And I said, what do I do about my sexuality? And his answer shocked me. And I said, I'm romantic. I'm looking for this, perfect person. And he said, let me see. No, basically he said, God, my mind went blank. God, I'm getting Alzheimer's. What am I going to do? He said, when there was no one there to express all this love to, think of it as spitting and do it yourself and just release the energy. And I didn't believe him when he said it. I wanted to think that this was this noble romantic gesture. And it's like over the long term, I've convinced myself he was right. And that it's an urge of your body that, if it backs up, can take a huge amount of energy and a huge amount of denying yourself the feeling of love. And, of course, it's great to have that feeling of love from another person who can make you feel loved energetically. But you know what? That's like teaching you how to love yourself. And there's more to it than this. It's not just about, it's giving yourself a loving orgasm, letting your heart be open, and not feeling guilty like you're doing something wrong. And that can open up channels of love in yourself that are very powerful. And that if you don't do it, you feel stuck inside. So that's my, a human experience, adding to that answer, okay? Okay, I got one more question here. It's 6:52. I know we talked a lot before we started. Sorry about that. One day we'll do a three-hour Saturday session and just go on and on asking everybody's questions. This is from Daniel Chung, and he is in Newark, Delaware. Maybe he's near Susan. This is the first time I'm asking a question to a live radio audience. Thank you for taking my question. Am I an indigo child? If not, or if so, and what is my duty? Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Give us a moment. You are a very special child, and you have very special gifts that are not generally known. You have abilities of perceptions beyond the range where your friends, some of your friends have the ability to perceive beyond the edges of what is generally considered reality and to be very intuitive and to know more than just the surface information would predict that you would know. And we would place you in a category even beyond indigo child. We do not know what name that would be, but indigo children are very special also, but you step a step beyond, and it is a pleasure to make contact with you.
Thank you. Last thing for tonight.
Vin. All right. Vin, I know that there's no show after us on BBS, and I know that attention for Julia is urgent. Will you please add it on?
I'm doing it right now. That's my next thing. I said my last question. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. This is Shanghai. I ask for our sources to please give an encouraging message to our friend Julia in Humboldt County, California. She is going through difficult situation and feels hopeless, especially around the relationship with her daughter. Thank you.
Thank you. You have our love. You have the love of the people on the line. And if you, within the silence of your room, send loving thoughts, good thoughts to your daughter, it may not seem like it is doing anything, and your daughter may tumble out with the grievances that she has felt in even the long time past. But if you hold the energy of love and let those turbulences move through as if it is her cries, when a child is little, doesn't speak yet, they need to communicate that they are hungry, that they are wet, they are uncomfortable, that they need something. And so a child often will bring an uncomfortable energy, a tantrum to the situation in their attempt to communicate. You are the parents. And if you can stand back and let the tumult come and think of it as a child that is trying to communicate something but doesn't know what, and not to take it as a imperfection or weakness on your part, but to simply let the flow, the tumult, come and acknowledge it. All right, what is she trying to say? What is the heart of that? What is the basic? What is the core? What are you trying to say? Daughter, what are you trying to tell me? What is behind it? And if you can so listen, even in the quietness of your own room, to conversations in your mind that have gone on before, and try to get the sense of it, she eventually will know she's trying to communicate something to you. And to calm yourself and to say, okay, I want to know what it is that you are trying to tell me. There's a lot of force behind what the tumult is. And then behind that is something she's trying to say, and behind that is that she would like love. Thank you.
Thank you. And
can barely hear you, Ian.
Here we go. Is that better?
Yep.
Okay. Just a moment. I'm just going to make a couple comments here. Dharmananda, it would be a violation of free will to ask that question. It couldn't come to you from a third-party source. It has to come from your son or some direct way. And I don't think, I think he's just moved on. And maybe that's hurtful, but maybe be glad that he's on, okay? And then Acela, you had a question about whether someone on the other side would ask you to do a deed, and how can I know if this is her? And I would say, look at what the deed is, and whether it's her or not, if it doesn't seem like a noble deed, then please don't do it. Just because somebody's on the other side and asks you to do something does not mean what they're asking you to do is noble. People can still have revenge, vengeance on the other side, and they can very easily ask someone on this side to fulfill that for them. And that would be, in my opinion, that would be a mistake, okay? So on that note, thank you all for being here. Thank you, Ives. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Terry. And we'll see you again on Sunday, okay? And over and out. Let me just see. Here we go. I see where we are. I will unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Elohim. Terry, Wayne.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Brother Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Can I give yourself approval?
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Heidi.
Brother Heidi.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Thank
you.
Thank you, Elohim. Good night, everyone.
Much love to all.